to This Week in Sports with D'Angelo Richardson. D'Angelo Richardson is a personal trainer, fitness influencer, and athlete. Not to mention, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of sports. Each week, D'Angelo will break down and explain some of the most intriguing sports stories of the week. From basketball to football, from soccer to hockey, baseball to Formula One, D covers it all. Be in to know now. I'm Dave Liss. Today is the first annual This Week in Sports Super Bowl preview episode with D'Angelo Richardson. In this episode, D will detail his thoughts about the most important elements of the game, his choice for Super Bowl champion. You can bet on that. And speaking of betting, D will give his thoughts about legal sports gambling in Virginia. His first bit of advice, don't do as D does. D, starting with the Super Bowl, what are your big picture thoughts about the game? Does it make a difference that Tampa Bay has home field advantage for the first time in Super Bowl history?
Hey, Dave, first of all, how are you doing? Hope you're well.
Good, thank you. Very excited today.
Yes, I can tell. You're on it with the detail. This episode with D with details of it's just
it goes with everything.
Yeah, I'm glad my name is D. I hope so. So with the big game, obviously Super Bowl weekend, you know, and first and foremost, man, as a neutral observer, I'm kind of excited for a couple of reasons. For one, and I'll speak in like narrative terms. I won't get too much into like the details of the game itself, because I'm guessing the people who might be listening to this might not know a bunch about football or American football for that matter. So I'll speak in narratives, and this is why I think people who maybe might be casual fans who might check it out should be interested. We got two quarterbacks, Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of people might know Tom Brady because he used to play for the Patriots. I'll start with him. He is in his 20th season, 19th playing. He missed 1 year due to injury. In 19 seasons, this guy has been to the Super Bowl 10 times.
Wow.
And so over half of his career has ended in him playing for a Super Bowl. And then that's 2 times more than anyone else in history, any position, anything like that. So think about that. 10 Super Bowl,
amazing.
10 Super Bowl appearances, over half of his career spent in the Super Bowl. He is widely regarded as the greatest quarterback ever, just off of accomplishments. And how can you disagree with that? He is, again, got to emphasize, 10th Super Bowl, unheard of. And he has 6 rings, going for a 7th ring, which is already the most in NFL history. He'd just be adding on to that. But I think the most important thing is just to realize where he came from and realize that this guy was an afterthought in college, and then coming out of college, went to the University of Michigan. He split time as quarterback at Michigan. He wasn't even the main starter for most of his time there. He comes out of the draft. He has a horrible combine. Combine is where they kind of test your physical attributes before they draft you. So he was drafted in the 6th round, number 199, afterthought. The only reason he got drafted to the Patriots when he got drafted to the Patriots, because that starting quarterback got hurt midway through the season or so. And so they forced Tom Brady to be in there. And then lo and behold, that first year he goes and wins the Super Bowl. And then the story is written from there. I just think coming from where he came from, as far as an athlete perspective, for him to accomplish so much in his career, it's just something that I don't think will be fully appreciated until he retires. And then we look on the other side of the ball. Patrick Mahomes, this kid is 25 years old. He already has one Super Bowl MVP. He already has a regular season MVP. And I think it's fair to say that while we say Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever because of his accomplishments, I don't think it's too early to say that Patrick Mahomes might be the best quarterback as far as talent and skill goes ever. I don't think it's too early to say that. He has the way he throws the ball like a baseball player. And if you know anything about how to throw a baseball and comparing it to throwing a football, it's two completely different motions, two different, completely different angles that you have to throw from. But this kid throws a football like he does a baseball. And so that allows him to like create these weird angles that the normal person can't do. And so I just think aesthetically, just watching it, even if you don't understand, watching him throw the football will be a thing of beauty. And then I think bringing those two things together, that story about Tom Brady and where he's coming from, how he's been in 10 Super Bowls, and Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback physically we've ever seen, I think makes a great story. As far as home field advantage, another amazing story is that Tampa Bay is the first team in history to have the Super Bowl at their home stadium, right? Usually the Super Bowl, the sites are given out a few years in advance. Because of COVID this year, it was supposed to be, I think, in Los Angeles in their new stadium. But because of COVID and California's restrictions, they had to change the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. And this is like earlier in the season, before the season even started. So we obviously had no idea how good Tampa Bay was going to be. And the fact that they're in the Super Bowl now and all that coming together, I just think makes for incredible storylines. And I'm just really excited about it. That's my spiel.
Will there be any fans at the game?
Yeah, so NFL is allowing about 22,000 fans at the stadium, 7,500 of which will be health and fitness workers who are vaccinated. So just a way to kind of give back to the health heroes who have been fighting this pandemic, and kind of, I think it's a great move by the NFL to kind of just allow them to enjoy the Super Bowl for free.
What are the critical make-or-break elements that will decide this game?
Okay, so I'll keep it simple again for people who maybe listen to this who don't know much about football. I don't want to get too in-depth where you might not understand, but it'll be basically this. Kansas City, their offense is a little bit injured as far as the line. So the line are the people, the players that block for Patrick Mahomes, for the quarterback, right? They have a bunch of injuries, a lot of moving parts. And the reason why that's important is because with those injuries and Tampa Bay, their defensive line, so the players that go after the quarterback on Tampa Bay side, they are really great at getting after the quarterback with only four people rushing. So what that means is usually you only allowed to have 11 players on the field, right, on each side. So what that means is, you think about it, if there's four people rushing, that leaves rushing, which means going after the quarterback. So Tampa Bay going after the quarterback, only four people going after the quarterback, that leaves seven people in coverage, which means covering the rest of the field, right? And so you have five or six people blocking for him, and then you have Patrick Mahomes himself, that leaves about four people out there, four receivers or a running back or a tight end who he can try to throw to. So when you have 7-on-4, that always leaves, you know, advantage for the defense, even though Patrick Mahomes is great at, you know, dialing up and making accurate throws. I think if they can get to Mahomes with only four people and then have to bring more people in order to get to him and then leave more of the field open, that's the advantage for Tampa Bay. So I think that's the way Tampa Bay could win. On the other side, if Tom Brady, for all his greatness this year, obviously he's 43 years old. If he gets pressure in his face, he's not going to want to take a hit, right? Understandably so. So if you have people from Kansas City getting to him, getting close to him, maybe hitting him, he's going to maybe throw the ball early, maybe underthrow the ball, and that will leave for potential turnovers where Kansas City can capitalize. So I think breaking it down simple as I can is that having Tampa Bay being able to get to Patrick Mahomes with only four people and leaving the rest in coverage to cover the rest of their players will be a benefit for Tampa Bay. On the other side, if Kansas City is able to rush and get pressure on Tom Brady and force him to kind of, you know, think about whether he's going to get hit, or if someone's coming in his face, that leaves him susceptible to throwing balls that might be available for Kansas City to intercept. So those would be my keys for the game.
Bottom line, who will be the 51st Super Bowl champion?
55th?
55th.
Sorry. That's okay. So this is, I hate picking games. So I'm going to say this. I think it's hard to, I haven't seen Kansas City lose a meaningful game in like 2 years. They've only lost one game, and that game was when they didn't play their starters. So off that alone, it's hard to say Kansas City won't win, but I'm a sucker for fairy tales. I'm a sucker for like great stories. I think the fact that Tom Brady, and then his first year after leaving the New England Patriots, where he's been for 20 years, going to a new team in his first year, taking them not only to the Super Bowl, but to win it, I think it's just an amazing story. For that reason alone, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be your Super Bowl champions.
You heard it here.
My name is Bond. My word is Bond.
So next time we'll talk, we'll come back and see how that all turned out. Big picture, the American Gaming Association estimates that 7.2 million people will place online wagers for the Super Bowl, and that will generate $4.3 billion in bets. What is important to understand about sports gambling and sports gambling in the Super Bowl? That said, Kansas City is favored by 3 over
Tampa Bay. I think what's important to understand is that sports betting is just all luck. There's not really any skill to it. You can do all the research you can, but these are, you know, they're human beings. They're not robots. So everything you predict, everything that according to the numbers, things you can predict are not always going to happen. You can predict trends, and most of the time they might go that way. But, you know, it's not a wise... It's not a great investment in the long term. It might help you in the short term, but in the long term, it's just too much luck involved in sports. With that said, you know, I think it's good to do if you're smart about it. But I think with the Super Bowl, there's so many bets. Like, there's going to be like bets on heads or tails. So like at the beginning of a game, before to determine who gets the ball, you'll have the referee flip a coin, either heads or tails, whoever calls the correct side gets the ball first, or can choose to get the ball first, or to kick it away and get the ball to start the second half. And you have little things like that, like who's the first person to catch a touchdown? Who's the first person to kick a field goal? Who's the first person to do this or that? And so there's so many, like the Super Bowl is known for so many crazy bets. How long the freaking national anthem is going to be. That's a bet. You can place a bet on that. Yeah, for how really? Long? Because, you know, singers can either be really quick or they can take forever and hold on to notes forever. And you got anthem that goes for like 3 minutes. So, like, you can bet on, like, almost every single thing that happens in the Super Bowl. That's how crazy it is.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Should sports betting or sports gambling be legal in Virginia?
I think it is. I mean, now, whether you think so or not, it is. I think you're noticing a trend across the United States that gambling, sports betting is becoming more legalized. And I think for good reason. I think it's good that it's legalized. I think the issue at first was just because of, you know, you don't leaving it open, having given the opportunity for like players or referees or coaches to bet on their own games, you know, led to some people being wary of allowing it to be legalized in that way, just to avoid, you know, corruption in that regard. But they came up with rules against that and restrictions and all that kind of stuff. So for it to be allowed to the general public, I think it's really good. And I think it's fun. It can be dangerous, but I think it's fun. And so this question is coming up because I believe it was two or three weeks ago, Virginia legalized sports betting just in time for the conference championships in football and now the Super Bowl. And so you see a big uptick in Virginia as far as people betting on different kinds of sports.
Do you personally bet on sports? How do you gamble? And should people or should people not use you as an example?
So I'm going to say this. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay. I absolutely took advantage of this. So I have this app called FanDuel where you can bet on sports games. If you're in Virginia, you have to be in Virginia to bet. So if I was to cross over into DC, it wouldn't allow me to bet. So you have to be within the state lines of Virginia. So what I did is I was like, let me try it out. I've never bet on sports before. Not something I care to do, you know. I felt like it was something I had to do if I was like in Vegas or something like that, and I didn't have the energy for that. But now that's like at my phone, I can just catch it on my phone. I am a nut job with this. Like, I'm addicted to it, I think, because I'm betting on, like, random college games at, like, 12 o'clock in the afternoon on the weekdays between.
I mean, should we be worried about you?
So here's what I do. I take easy wins. So, like, if it's, like, a really good team, especially – I'll do this with college basketball because it's a little bit easier to, like, dissect who's good and bad. So if I have a really good college team playing a really bad college team, and let's say the really good college team is bet to win by 7 points, I'll take that bet. I won't bet a bunch. So I'll wager, like, $10, right? And because it's an easy win, like, it's the most predictable outcome. You bet $10, you can win like maybe $6 or $7, right? So I wager $10 and I win. Mm-hmm. That ten becomes $17, right? And so then I take out of that $17, I bet another $10 on another game. If I win that $17, if I win another 7 or 6, it becomes 23, 24. So you see how you can kind of build up. So what I do is I try to take easy wins first, let my bank build up. As I build that up, I'll take a flyer on a game here or there where it's not so easy to predict and where the outcome, if you win, is a little bit greater, right? So if I bet $10 on this out of reach prediction, I can maybe get 20 or 30 out of it, right? And so here's what I do to kind of help control myself. If I win that, if I get over like $100 or so, I'll take about 70 or 80% of that. I'll put it back into my bank account so that I can't wager too much. So I'm always only wagering about no more than like $20 or something, because it's so unpredictable, so much luck that you can lose. I've lost more than I've won. But yeah. The dangerous part here is that even though I'm trying to protect myself by putting it back into my account and not touching it, I find myself, whenever I lose something, I get so mad that I want to make it up. So I'll wager again until I get a win. And I keep losing. So I've had like 2 and 3 and 4 losing streaks. And I finally get another one and I build back up. So the dangerous part is that if I keep losing, I'm going to want to keep doing it. And that's how I can waste money. Huh. So with all that said, don't do what I do, because this thing is addicting. It's easy to just get enthralled with your phone and just look at scores all day and night and barely get any sleep because you're trying to make money off of dumb luck in sports. I'm going crazy and I'm so tired every day now because that's all I do. I bet on games in Hawaii.
Really?
Hawaii games don't start till like midnight. So I stay up until 2 o'clock to see how the Hawaii game turned out. That's what I did last night. I really did. I actually won on the Hawaii game. So it's a good ending. But I say all that to say, if you can control yourself, have fun, but don't be like me, because I'm in a bad place right now.
Well, hope it's not too bad. I mean, I had a friend, and whenever I ask him how he did when he bet on something or gambled or something, he'd say, well, I broke even.
So always breaking even. Yeah, I'm trying to always break above even. Right now, I'm probably breaking even. With that said, I'm going to bet on Tampa Bay to win tomorrow. So let's see how that goes for me. I'm going to do that right after we get off this podcast.
That said,
that's right.
You heard it here first. A story, despite how D may place a bet, a storybook ending for Tom Brady.
That's right. Make me some money, Tom Brady, Buccaneers. Please. As long as you win, I don't care. You could throw 5 interceptions. If you win, then you made me money. I'm happy.
And thank you all very much for listening. Please contact Dave at davidmliss@gmail.com to let us know what you'd like to learn about for the latest in sports news and health, fitness,